It's time to get answers to all of your real estate questions. Talk 1260 KTRC presents All Things Real Estate, New Mexico's foremost live, listener-interactive real estate radio show. The phone lines are open, so call us at 505-473-5722 or email us your questions at rpost@sfrp.com. Now, here's your host, Ray Post.
Happy New Year and welcome to the first broadcast in 2010 of All Things Real Estate. I'm Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners and stand ready to help meet all of your real estate objectives. So with today's show, we plan on offering you a bunch of observations about the status of real estate in 2010, as well as some useful suggestions and strategies, whether you are a buyer or a seller of property. I have two very special in-studio guests with me today, who will be offering their thoughts on this topic, and of course we invite you to join in the dialogue here on Talk 1260 KTRC by emailing me, Ray Post, your questions and comments, and sending them to rpost@sfrp.com. But first we want to remind you that if you need some help with renovation, repair, and design issues around your own home, we have some excellent companies to give you a hand. Simply go to our website, www.santafe.realtypartners.com, click on the radio show icon, and look for the list of real estate resource companies. I also want to invite you to check out the very popular website, santafe.com, which offers you timely information on everything in our city, be it the restaurant and gallery scene, the current real estate property situation, where to shop or stay, events to attend, as well as information on the All Things Real Estate radio show. So go to santafe.com for information on everything happening in the city. Now, as we launch into 2010, I guess it's 2010 to some people. There's a real debate, isn't there, Gino, going on between that 2010, 2010. So I'm going to say 2010. Let's take a moment to observe the status of things generally. First of all, the Dow Jones Industrial Average ended 2009 above the 10,000 mark, well above where it started last January. Actually, it was a one-year rise of nearly 19%. Now, though the jobless rate ended the year at 10%, and it is definitely a major concern for sustained economic recovery, it actually dipped unexpectedly in November, and employers shed the fewest number of jobs in 2 years. Also, the first time homebuyer tax credit of $8,000 was extended by Congress to mid-2010, and expanded to include move-up buyers. And finally, the consensus view of loan providers Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, as well as the Mortgage Bankers Association, the National Association of Home Builders, and the National Association of Realtors, is that existing home sales nationally are expected to increase by nearly 10% in 2010, while new home sales and housing starts are expected to increase more than 25% this year. So with this as the backdrop, I want to begin the show with a couple of minutes of state of the market commentary from Andrew Hoffman, advisor to All Things Real Estate. You know, Andrew, another fact that speaks to the status of the real estate market as we enter the new year is that interest rates are enjoying some of the lowest levels ever. So what are your thoughts as we enter 2010?
Well, as you pointed out, it was a year of turmoil. Housing prices were down, and foreclosures were up to the highest level since the Depression. I looked back at January 2009, and I found that the 30-year fixed rate was at that time 5 1/8. And today, or at the end of the year, it was again at 5 1/8. However, in June, it hit a high of about 5 5/8. But early December, we saw it down around 4 5/8. So it's been going up and down. It's been a good time for buying and refinancing. The Federal Reserve committed $1.25 trillion, of which almost $1 trillion has already been used to buy mortgages. And that has buoyed this market and kept it fairly liquid.
Right.
On the other hand, this has been the year of acronyms. In May, we saw HVCC, the Home Valuation Code of Conduct, which separated the lender from the appraiser. A scorecard on that program has been sort of C-minus. It's allowed some marginal appraisers to come into the market and be profitable and make money. It, the downside is that you can't transport an appraisal from one lender to another. And then the other thing that happened during the year was in September, we were told that we had to adhere to the Mortgage Disclosure Information Act. The purpose there was to provide more information. The actual result of it was just to extend the time it takes to get a loan approved and closed. Now we're looking at the new RESPA 2010, and we've talked about that previously, and that just further makes life difficult. It has, on the other hand, been a good year for people who qualify for Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loans with full documentation of income and good credit. They were able to refinance. They were able to buy. And as you pointed out, there was the $8,000 tax credit, which has been extended, and the $6,500 credit for existing home buyers. So it's been a year of up and down.
Right, and a lot of those changes that were made by Congress were in reaction to the meltdown that we had a year ago in 2008, and in fact to invite more transparency and better consumer-related activity, but it has been challenging for people in your industry. So that's sort of a summary, and a good summary, Andrew, of what's happened in 2009. I know next week we're going to talk about your perspective of what's occurring and what people can look forward to in 2010. We look forward to talking to you then.
Thanks, Ray.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, I want to introduce my two very special in-studio guests with me today. I have Annie O'Carroll, who is the principal of Annie O'Carroll Interior Design. And I have her husband, who, let's see, you have a business too, don't you? I think it's I'm serious.
I do.
I'm just kidding. It's Miles Chaffee, who is the owner, principal of a very, very well-known company called Milestone Incorporated. Welcome to the program, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ray.
Today we're going to be talking about your perspective on what people, consumers, home buyers, sellers, owners can be looking at in 2010. We're going to use a lot of your own experience, vast wealth of experience, both in interior design and in the business that Milestone pursues. But let's talk a little bit about your background and why you're here. What brought you, Annie, and then Miles, to New Mexico?
I was living in Southern California and had finished school at the Newport Beach Interior Design Institute. I was with Marriott Hotels before that in travel industry sales and had a great career in the hotel business and was looking to do something different. Mm-hmm. And relocated to New Mexico, to Santa Fe, and was able to really launch a career here. And it's been a great journey, and there's just been a lot of opportunities in Santa Fe for me. It's been a great ride for the last almost 20 years now.
And Miles, what brought you to this fabulous state?
In 1970, I came here to go to the University of New Mexico, and I never left. I fell in love with New Mexico.
What did you study at UNM?
I started out with history and went into business.
Okay. Well, I'm going to back up a little bit. Annie O'Carroll Interior Design, I think when listeners are hearing that, they have a sort of rough idea, but we'll talk about your vision and things. But let's talk about, for a moment, Miles, so the listeners understand, you run a very well-known company, but Milestone Incorporated is in the business of?
We sell stone, and we do sell recycled glass tiles, but predominantly we sell stone. And by that, we do stone for walls, we do stone for interior floors, we do cobblestones, we do the whole gambit.
Now, is this all natural stone?
It's all natural stone. Mm-hmm. We import it from around the world, and we have strategic partners at major cities that we work with also.
Mm-hmm. Going back for a moment to the personal side of it, Annie, how did you guys meet?
I was working at a company with Carolyn Reichow as her assistant mm-hmm. when I first started, and Miles was representing a stone company, and he was a vendor, and we met that way, and then he launched his business, and I launched my business. I don't know if it was the smartest thing to do, launch two new businesses, but we did it, and
yeah, but
here
you guys are extremely successful, well-known in the community, well-known within my community of real estate brokers, and much appreciated and respected for what you bring to the table. We're going to talk a lot about, during this show, how you guys often integrate what you do respectively for clients that you perhaps work together And Miles and I had a chance to chat at a holiday party about all the international travel that he does. And just before the show started, you were starting to say your next trip is going to be to Buenos Aires, isn't it?
Yeah, we more and more are importing a type of cobblestone called porphyry out of Buenos Aires in southern Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a part of the great part of, we do get to travel a lot, and it's about relationships. And when you do business on an international level, these relationships are critical.
Yeah, well, they certainly are, and particularly for the kind of product you're offering, you have to go to sort of remote parts of the world, don't you?
Yes, I do, and it it helps me to see the factories, how they run their businesses before we do it.
Mm-hmm. Back to you, Annie. Annie O'Carroll of Annie O'Carroll Interior Design. Talk a little bit about your vision. I mean, there are interior designers out here. There's a strong community. But what differentiates your business from other interior designers?
I think that I'm very fluid in what I do. I think that I show up with an open mind. You have to be fluid in this economy because businesses shifted so much.
Right.
And, you know, our business... have been able to, we do a lot of work with construction, specifications, remodeling, furniture, kind of the whole gamut. So as the market shifts, maybe what's happening now, it's shifting from new construction to remodeling to people fixing up their homes. So we're able to move with those times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having good listening skills, really being a partner with the client, really understanding what it is they're trying to achieve, what their goal is, has really helped me in my career.
Mm-hmm. Plus a great reputation in so much of what we do. I know for real estate brokers, the sweet spot that you're always achieving is that one where you receive a lot of referrals from past happy clients. So the same for you, I
Yes,
assume.
Absolutely. That's it. Because I have been here for close to 20 years now. My business is referral business, and
mm-hmm.
a lot of my clients are now into second homes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're I'm working with them for the second and third time, which is great because we have a relationship. We know how each other works. I mean, what I do is very personal.
Mm-hmm.
You get into the relationships of people. You are involved in their finances. The relationship is long-term, at least a year,
mm-hmm.
typically a year, 2 years. So you're part of the family, and
mm-hmm.
that's very important.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we're going to take a quick break here on all things real estate. When we come back, Miles, I'll ask you a little bit about how you generate your own business development activity, which is a little bit different model than Annie's. But, again, please stay tuned. We're going to take a break here, have a couple of commercials, and please rejoin us with Annie O'Carroll and Miles Chaffee. You're on All Things Real Estate.
Now, here's your host, Associate Broker with Santa Fe Realty Partners, Ray Post.
Welcome back to All Things Real Estate, this first show of 2010-2010. Before we get back in the program, I want to remind you that Linson's Incorporated, a family-owned and operated business, has been offering fabrics and custom upholstery services for more than 30 years. Now, if you haven't been to Linson's showroom, I suggest that you stop by the Santa Fe Institution and check out the more than 450 lines of fabric, custom bedding, and upholstery services they have to offer. Linson's is a major destination for interior designers, decorators, and Santa Fe homeowners, and ships its products to clients all over the world. Linson's is located at 1305 Cerrillos Road, and I encourage you to stop by and say hello to our friend Lupi Linson and her helpful staff, Linson's, for all your fabric and custom upholstery needs. Annie O'Carroll, you must go to Linson's occasionally, huh?
Occasionally, yes,
yeah.
I do.
Yeah, good
mm-hmm.
fabrics there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, in the studio with me today is Annie O'Carroll, principal of Annie O'Carroll Interior Design, and Miles Chaffee, principal of Milestone Incorporated. And in the last segment, we were sort of framing a little bit about their businesses, what they do respectively, and the fact that they overlap with client activity on a regular basis. So let's talk a little bit about that. Miles, I actually gave Annie the opportunity to sort of talk a little bit about her own business development. How do you apply what you know and what you do, your products, your services, to finding new clients?
Well, we obviously, it's a small town and we advertise, but we try to have unique materials and we try to listen to the clients, and particularly the interior designers and the builders, to see what their plans are for building. And so what we find recently is people are looking for rectangles instead of squares,
mm-hmm.
a large format. And so we attempt to reach out, and we also attempt to have some new ideas, and from listening to them, some of the ideas that they've given us when they come back.
Mm-hmm. And what's the breakdown of clients, commercial versus residential?
Oh, I would say we probably are about 60-70% residential.
Really? Mm-hmm. That high? I want to encourage everyone, by the way, full disclosure here, Annie O'Carroll and Miles Chaffee are both real estate resource sponsors of All Things Real Estate, and you can find contact information on them at our website. Again, just go to www.santafe.realtypartners.com. Click on the radio show icon, go right to the radio show page, and you will see the links directly to each of them if you have any questions or comments for them or want to pursue them about their product lines. I teased a little bit about the issue of how you guys overlap occasionally with your clients. Talk a little bit about that, Annie. When does that happen? When do you say, hey, honey, I want you to be doing something with them on natural stone? Or, Miles, you say to Annie, hey, honey, I want you to be the interior designer. Does it happen like that? No, not at all, right?
Not exactly. But what does happen is because flooring, stone, is such it's the beginning of a project.
Right.
It's typically an expense to the project. It's the largest element to the project, and it can be a driver of the project, mm-hmm. aesthetically. So, for example, we just had a client who's going to be building a house in La Tierra, a new breaking ground in March,
mm-hmm.
and the first thing we looked at was the site. We looked at the plans, and what came to my mind was that there was an opportunity to really bring some flooring materials inside and out.
Mm-hmm.
We had budget constraints, so I went to Miles and asked him what's available that can go be used inside and outside, and thinking in my mind that certain stones could not be used outside, and he educated me on the quality of the stone, and there are stones that can be used inside and out, and the way that you seal those stones, prepare those stones, and we were able to find a great material with the color palette we were looking for. And we're going to be using it in the project.
In the green room before the show, Miles, you were telling me about perhaps this is the same episode, where someone had actually installed the incorrect stone on the outside. And talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was a different project a couple years ago, but we had somebody come in looking for sealers because every time it rained, their slate in their portal would bleed orange and reds, multicolor slate, and we finally, after researching it and looking at it, it turned out to be a slate that should never have been used outside.
Mm.
They had some bad advice, and it was a very low quality slate. We ended up replacing it with another slate that could be, and so every stone is a limestone is not a limestone, a slate's not a slate. They have different hardnesses, different qualities.
Right.
Different characteristics.
And in that particular case, you also told me that they were able to install the new correct stone for the same price as the incorrect stone, right?
That's correct. So
uh-huh.
higher quality material for the same price.
That's amazing. Well, I tell you what, we're going to continue on in this conversation with Annie O'Carroll and Miles Chaffee, but right now, Gino Thompson, we've reached that point in the show when it's time for our legal topic of the week, brought to us by the Reuben Katz Law Firm. This week, attorney Leonard Katz offers us an excellent first-of-the-year topic by defining the elements of a financing contingency in a purchase agreement. As we discussed in a previous legal topic segment, buyer contingencies are a common feature of a real estate purchase agreement. You'll recall that a contingency is a condition tied to someone's performance under a contract, which, if not satisfied, can enable the termination of the contract. A key contingency in most purchase agreements is the ability of the buyer to obtain financing. This is commonly known as the financing contingency. Now, most residential property is acquired with bank or other mortgage lender financing. Besides securing needed funds to purchase a property, a buyer is often able to deduct mortgage loan interest when filing personal income tax. Now, financing contingencies typically include the following elements. First is the amount to be financed. This amount plus the value of the buyer's down payment will equal the total purchase price of the property. Second, other terms associated with the mortgage loan, which may be included in the financing contingency. These can include the interest rate on the loan, whether the loan is fixed or variable, the loan's term of period, and finally the amount of monthly payments. But another simple way of stating the financing contingency in a purchase agreement can be that the loan will be obtained at a prevailing interest rate and include other terms and provisions which are acceptable to the buyer. The third financing contingency element is the date by which a preliminary loan approval is obtained by the buyer. This involves an initial meeting with the lender where information is provided regarding the buyer's income and employment. Now, with this preliminary information, the lender may provide preliminary loan approval required under the purchase agreement. Such preliminary loan approval includes numerous conditions to making the ultimate loan and should be treated simply as the lender's willingness to continue the buyer's loan application and review process. And the final element of the financing contingency is the date which final loan approval is obtained by the buyer. In essence, such approval is recognition that the buyer has successfully advanced through the review and verification process and meets all of the lender's standards. However, it's important to emphasize that every final loan approval contains conditions to the actual funding of the loan that enable the lender to terminate the loan if there are material adverse changes prior to purchase closing. For instance, if a buyer is unfortunately laid off from work, or in an extreme case, a lender faces bankruptcy, then the buyer's loan will not be funded at closing. And from a seller's standpoint, the goal is always to have a financing contingency process that runs for as short a period of time as possible. During this period, the seller's property has been taken off the market, and the seller is in limbo until the buyer has completed the loan review and approval process. Also, during this period, a seller needs to think about the timing of moving personal property from their soon-to-be-sold home, as well as when to leave the home prior to closing. Of course, calculating this timing largely depends on the seller's level of assurance that the buyer's loan funds will be available at closing. So the bottom line for both buyers and sellers comes down to the careful preparation of the financing contingency and then monitoring its progress. These are the key components towards successfully completing a real estate transaction. I want to thank Attorney Leonard Katz for providing us with a useful legal topic of the week. If you have your own legal questions regarding financing contingencies, please go to our website, www.santafe realtypartners.com. Click on the radio show icon and then go right to the Reuben Katz Law Firm logo. You guys know Lenny Katz, don't you?
Sure.
Good friend, yeah. The firm always provides us with useful commentary. The listeners always say, thank you, Ray, and Lenny, thanks again. It was pretty understandable, wasn't it?
Yeah.
At least as I read it, and perhaps so. And anyway, we hope for that each week. Anyway, Gino Thompson, let's take a quick break here on All Things Real Estate. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Annie O'Carroll of Annie O'Carroll Interior Design and Miles Chaffee of Milestone Incorporated. Please stay tuned.
There are important reasons why you choose your realtor, lender, and other real estate professionals. There are important reasons why you should be discriminating in your choice of title companies, too. The top recommendation? Fidelity National Title Insurance Company. Fidelity National is the nation's giant of title insurers with a personal Santa Fe approach. Our services are customized to meet the particular needs of each and every person and each and every property. With Fidelity, your transaction runs smooth and safe with no surprises. Choose experienced knowledge professionals to assist you with your real estate questions and transaction needs. Call your friends at Team Fidelity at 505-995-8800 or email us at our free and confidential question and customer service department, Santa Fe at FNF.com. Choose wisely. Choose Fidelity. You'll appreciate the difference.
Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. This is Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners. Today I have Annie O'Carroll of Annie O'Carroll Interior Design in the studio with me, along with her husband, Miles Chaffee, who is the principal of Milestone Incorporated, a natural stone provider. Is that correct? Correct. Okay. Anyway, we've been talking about a number of issues associated with how your businesses overlap. Before we go back into that, I want to ask my listeners, are you thinking about building a new home, updating the one that you're in, or converting your garage into a living space, or building a guest house? We talked a little bit about that, that seems to be where people are, isn't it, Annie?
It seems to be.
Choosing a contractor is an important decision, and that's why I recommend Major Development Incorporated, a premier developer and builder in Santa Fe with over 15 years of experience. Jeff and Dina Major work with you to ensure a quality and efficient building process that will enhance your home and reflect your style. Now is an excellent time to start your project with Major Development and enjoy 15% off their standard rates. Please call Major Development today at 505-470-0019 for your free consultation or visit them online at www.majordevelopment.net to learn about all their custom home building services. Miles, you said you've worked a little bit with Jeff and Dina Major with Major Development, correct?
They're terrific people.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the conversation here regarding what is of importance to you guys. We talked a little bit about the overlapping of businesses. Let me talk a little bit, Annie, starting with you, about identifying trends in 2010. What consumers should be looking at when it comes to interior design issues?
Well, the trend that I'm seeing is that people are remodeling and are fixing up their houses. Their houses are becoming more personal. When you're involved with new construction, it's a little more serious. You've got plaster. It's just all a little bit more serious. So it's a little bit, it's very fun actually to do remodeling because again, it's a personal space. People are committed to staying in their homes maybe for a little bit longer. So what I wanted to talk about for a minute was color. I love color. It's color in paint, color in textiles, and there's a couple of trends that have really emerged that are emerging for 2010. And one of them are colors that soothe and calm, which are gray neutrals, slate, charcoal, pewter, ash colors, sort of the dried herbs, warm khakis, pink champagne, but really the neutrals that are a little bit more weathered. And the other spectrum is colors that energize and that are optimistic, yellows, reds, oranges. Pantone named the color of the year. It's called Mimosa. It's a golden yellow color. And that color embodies hopefulness and reassurance in a climate of change. So it's kind of two spectrums, and I'm seeing that a lot, you know, optimistic colors and soothing colors.
And that probably is a natural reaction to the challenges that we all have been facing, even more so in these last 2 years, and last year in particular, don't you see?
I think so. And they're also a way to, you can paint a room. It's, to me, the most efficient and cost-effective way to really produce some drama and a quick change in a house is to use paint, to use those colors on pillows, to use what you have as, but then to accent with something that's a little bit more current and updated.
Maybe on that score, and I just got an email here. This sort of speaks to it. I think I was reading it as you were speaking. Hi, Annie. If I want to get the best bang for the buck on interior design work on my 2,500 square foot home located in the Guadalupe Historic District, what would you recommend? The house is 20 years old, and other than interior painting and a little renovation 3 years ago to the master bath, I've done nothing. I'm thinking about selling. My ears are going up. So I want to do what I can for about $15,000. That's from Thank You, Betty. Any thoughts for Betty?
I think if she's not interested in painting, I do think that people need to have spaces defined when they walk into a home if you're considering reselling. So I think that decluttering is very useful. I think people need to see themselves in your home. I think that there's a lot of things you can do with lighting that are very effective and that are environmentally friendly. Putting your lighting on dimmer switches, I think, is a smart idea and really keeps the usage down. So I would say lighting. Mm-hmm. But I think minimizing a little bit,
right,
editing kind of what you have would be helpful.
And those are strategies that we as brokers always recommend to our clients when they're getting ready to sell, because the two important or three important issues is, one, price. So, Betty, we need to talk about price if you're serious about this. Number two are the amenities that you can really make sing in the house, and that comes into what Annie's talking about. And then lastly is that it's in move-in quality. So those all tie together from an interior design standpoint as well, don't they?
I think so. But I think I don't know why you're maybe not interested in painting, but I think that the neutrals are shifting from the creams and beiges into more of the grays and the pewters, and I think that would freshen the house, even if it wasn't the whole house. Maybe it's a wall, maybe it's the kitchen, a bedroom, but I do think it gives a tremendous impact.
Mm-hmm. Miles Chaffee, principal of Milestone Incorporated, a natural stone provider. I got that down, didn't I?
You got it.
Anyway, let's talk a little bit from your perspective. You've been out there for many years. You've worked on so many different projects. What are some of the trends that you see in 2010 that consumers should be aware of?
Well, we're seeing a shift in from square tiles to rectangles, and we're also seeing a lot more usage of patterns and large formatting patterns. And another one that's interesting to me is different textures that are now available with stones. One that seems to be very, very popular is they refer to as a leather or a brushed finish. Hmm. And whereas before, years ago, polished was a very popular finish, and then we went to a honed, which is more of a matte finish. Now the leather finish is a natural looking finish, mm-hmm. but it has a slight texture.
Mm-hmm. And how do they achieve that?
They do that literally with brushes. Instead of grinders grinding the stone smooth or polishing with pads, they put different tensile strength fibers with diamond tips. And some of the diamonds are digging the stone and some are smoothing the stone at the same time.
Is that all done mechanically? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we're not talking about thousands of laborers brushing over it with diamond tip brushes, right?
No, they have these generally Italian, what they refer to as a tile line.
Mm-hmm.
And these machines will go 30 yards long. They'll put in a piece of stone at the beginning. It'll come out finished and cut.
Uh-huh. Interesting. I did receive an email, Miles, for you. Hi, Ray. Does Miles have an opinion what the best route is for me in repaving my driveway? I'm thinking about curb appeal since I'm also thinking about listing my home in downtown Santa Fe and wonder what best product there is for the wow factor. That's from Sam.
Well, a real wow factor and a trend we see here in Santa Fe and really all over the United States are granite pavers, and one of those that for the best economics is porphyry. It's a natural stone, and if you go throughout Europe, really Asia and South America, wherever there's porphyry available, they have used it, starting all the way back with the Greeks and the Romans. And the cobblestone for curb appeal we find has been just terrific. It also, you can set it in sand and have it as a permeable paver.
Mm-hmm.
This will help your driveway to... the snow will have a place to melt. It'll melt twice as fast, maybe even faster than that,
right.
And gets it back into the aquifer instead of into the gutters.
Sam hasn't said. I'm assuming maybe he had an asphalt driveway. But let's assume that he did, or does. And so let's also assume that he goes for your idea of the pavers. Is there a huge price difference between just simply re-asphalting it and putting these pavers in?
Yes, there is. This is not an inexpensive way to go, but it is a long-lasting way to go. The initial cost of asphalt certainly is a lot less than doing a stone paver driveway.
But you got to redo it all the time.
You have to redo it all the time, and there is a payback period to it. These stones, they literally have roads in Europe hundreds of years old that they still drive on, and in some cases thousands of years. And so for your home, once you put a porphyry driveway in or a porphyry patio or cobblestones with a type of granite, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
There's really almost no maintenance and very, very little repair down the road.
And going back, Andy, to what you were talking about, perhaps a change in mood because of the way the economy is and everyone's more hopeful, and so from the standpoint of the color palette that you were speaking to, talk a little bit about how, and again, wherever there might be an overlap between what you and Miles do for a particular client, if that occurs, this whole sustainability issue, people are so much focused on green and sustainable building products and the like. How has that impacted on the interior design business?
Well, I think across the board it has impacted. People are aware of it. People are interested. They want to do their part. So, you know, I was speaking about paint earlier, and Benjamin Moore has a new product out, Aura Paints, and they're low VOC paints. The color palette's beautiful.
And VOC, I know what it is, but for the listener's sake.
I'm not sure I know exactly.
Yeah,
what
the acronym
VOC
relates to variable. Something. What is that, Gino? Do you know? I'm drawing a blank on that.
That
no,
means.
it's an environmental thing. It's a low emission level, I believe, is what it is.
Yeah.
So I didn't mean none of us know. So, but it's become part of our lexicon.
Yes.
We all say VOC,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Anyway, go ahead.
So anyway, I was just saying that they, you know, that they're very environmentally conscious with their paint. So that's just something to do. But Miles's Porphyry, what he was talking about earlier, one of the things that I thought was great about it is over this winter, the holiday, we were at a dinner party, and there was so much snow and ice, and, you know, you're getting ready to go out, and you have something great to wear, and you want to wear great shoes, right. And there's snow and ice, but this house that we were at had a porphyry driveway, and there it was completely clear without the homeowners having to do anything to the porphyry to clear the snow and ice.
Do they sometimes put
permeable material?
Is that it? Because it just lets the water seep down through it.
It allows the water to have a place to go other than to form a sheet of ice on it.
Mm-hmm. And interesting. And do people put heating elements under those sometimes too or not?
Sometimes, not very often.
Yeah.
But they do in colder climates. We sell it up in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and parts of northern Colorado. They certainly would use it there.
Mm-hmm. And Annie, going back to, again, some of the changes, talk about sustainability and the whole green movement. I'm looking at my notes here about your very good outline you gave to me. The application of technology to the interior design business, what exactly is that all about?
Well, I think, you know, if you talk about lighting, for example, exterior lighting right now, there's more solar lighting, mm-hmm. solar garden lights mm-hmm. that are really popular, and there's a variety of designs. There's pole lamps, stone lights, wall lights. They're starting to bring those into the house. Of course, the easiest thing is to change your light bulbs inside to the CFL bulbs, which is the compact fluorescent light bulbs. Those are really easy things to do.
Mm-hmm.
But just technology in general, the lighting systems that are touch systems, mm-hmm. Path lighting, all of those are more efficient than our regular lighting.
And with the efficiency, how has the cost been impactful to consumers from your business, from an interior design standpoint? With added green sustainability and technology, are we talking about higher prices?
Well,
generally?
You know, the paint, again, back to the paint, the paint, the material itself is mm-hmm. more expensive,
mm-hmm.
but you only need one coat of paint. In mm-hmm. where my office is on Pacheco Street, I have just this little accent wall that's in the front of my space, and it was painted at sort of an apple green,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to change the color, and I used this new Benjamin Moore paint product,
mm-hmm.
and I painted it a plum color, that's a significant change,
yeah.
and I needed one coat.
Mm-hmm.
So the material's more, but the labor's less.
I see.
So I was very happy with the material. And so when you're even working with a contractor and you say, I want to use this paint, immediately they may say, well, it's more expensive, but in the long run, I don't think so, because the labor is going to be a little bit less.
Mm-hmm. All very interesting stuff. We're going to take a quick break here, Gino Thompson, on All Things Real Estate. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Annie O'Carroll and Miles Chaffee. Please stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute. By the sound of that music, you know that we are up to our Open House of the Week segment. Today I have my colleague from Santa Fe Realty Partners, Mark Nussbaumer, on the line. Good afternoon, Mark. How are you?
Good afternoon, Ray. I'm doing fantastic.
Now,
how are you?
I'm doing well, and I understand you just literally drove back as fast as you could from Arizona from the holidays, and I appreciate you being on the show today.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And you know what? I should tell the listeners that you are actually talking about a property that we have already featured prominently on this show, 2 Wind Ridge Circle. It was actually, as you may know, one of the distinctive properties of Santa Fe segments that I did. And I interviewed your father, about 5-6 months ago about it. But you're doing an open house there today, so people have all sorts of reasons to come and look at this fabulous property. You know the drill, Mark. You've got 2 minutes to sell the listeners on it. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I'd like to first of all thank all of the listeners for tuning in today. I am really excited to tell you about this listing. It's at 2 Wind Ridge Circle. Open house today from 1 to 4. This was built by the former owner of Southwest Spanish Craftsman as a showcase for the designs and carving motifs of the business. If you're not already familiar with Southwest Spanish Craftsman, it is Santa Fe's exclusive high-end custom woodworking shop. The home is nearly 5,000 square foot on 2.5 acres out here in Las Campanas. It's a 4-bedroom, 5-bath house with 6 fireplaces and a 3-car garage. There is a separate guest house, and it has its own kitchen, laundry, and entryway. And this house is just absolutely built like a fortress. It's a true adobe and rostra double wall construction. It's extremely energy efficient. It has a dramatic entryway with oversized 2 3/4 thick hand-carved mahogany gates and doors. And there's also hand-laid porphyry in the entry and side and rear portals. Every room in the house has a different theme with hand-carved doors in walnut, mahogany, pine, and alder. And there's hand-scraped walnut floors in the master bedroom and dining area. This exceptional home has two heating systems with the forced air and radiant heat plus refrigerated cooling. For those of you that love to cook, it has a dream kitchen with Dacor range, Sub-Zero fridge, and dual Fisher Paykel dishwashers, cherry cabinets, and a large center island. Finally, enjoy landscaped gardens and endless views with expansive portals facing the Jemez mountain range. You're going to want to drop what you're doing and come out here to view this amazing property at 2 Wind Ridge Circle. You'll take 285 North out of downtown and exit at 599 Bypass. Continue to Camino La Tierra and exit. Take a right at the exit and make sure to follow the signs to Las Campanas Drive. You're going to take a right at the clubhouse at Clubhouse Drive and talk to the people at the gate. They'll get you in here to the property. Thanks again for listening. For this and other fine properties, don't hesitate to call me at 505-310-0253.
Gosh, Mark, this is sounded like you've been doing this for years. That was a fabulous summary of the qualities of 2 Wind Ridge Circle. And, again, you're going to be there today from 1 to 4.
Correct.
Open house.
Thank you.
And, again, if people want to get a hold of you, can they call you on the home line or should they call you on your cell?
They can call me on the home line as well at 505-988-2565.
Just in case somebody who is out there driving around has a little difficulty with finding the location. But sounds like a great property, which I've already featured before. I know it is. I know people should drop everything they're doing and drive out there to see Mark Nussbaumer. Enjoy your afternoon. I hope the buyer is on his or her way.
Me too. Thank you so much, Ray. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
And Happy New Year.
Same to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, Miles Chaffee, they have the driveway, which product came from you guys, maybe.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, are you the only one that provides that product here around Santa Fe? Or?
You know, I'm not positive, but we represent the largest quarries in Argentina and Mexico and have the rights to the United States for them. So.
Chances are it came through you.
That's correct.
And you know this company, both of you do, Southwest Spanish Craftsman, well-known institution here in town.
Yeah.
So we know this product is very nice. I do hope people do go by and see this very special property today. Anyway, resuming my conversation with Miles Chaffee of Milestone Incorporated and Annie O'Carroll of Annie O'Carroll Interior Design. We've talked a lot about identifying trends for 2010. Any other closing thoughts on that particular topic, Annie, you want to share with the listeners what they should maybe be looking at on the radar screen?
I think, you know, really that there's sort of a swing between technology and traditional design. There's not a lot happening in the middle. So I think it's just fun to research, go out, see what's new, see what makes sense to you, and have fun with your house.
Mm-hmm. And Miles, from the standpoint of your industry, the natural stone provider industry, people obviously, as you talked about with the example of Sam who sent in the email of changing his asphalt driveway to paver driveway, mm-hmm. they should maybe think about it, particularly if they are thinking about, as he asked, about the wow factor, something like that, because it really does make a huge difference when it comes to curb appeal.
It is really a wow factor, and it does. As you pull into a property with a cobblestone or a porphyry driveway, it sets itself apart,
mm-hmm.
and it actually is very functional, as Annie was talking about with the snow melt ability and all of that, and it's a maintenance-free driveway forever.
Mm-hmm.
So it really works great.
Yeah. We've got about 4 minutes or so, Gino, I guess, 5 minutes. Six minutes. I can never hold up his fingers. I can never figure it out. Let's talk a little bit about some of the changes that you have seen. We've alluded to them, but Annie, from the standpoint of interior design, 2 years ago was like 30 years ago, probably.
Yeah, I think that that's absolutely true. I would say 90% of my business was new construction. I worked with clients coming in, first houses, second home buyers, and we did all of the finishes and that's really, I would say, 80% of what my business was. So from the ground up, selecting all the materials, providing all the schedules to the contractor for the construction, and then moving into the furniture with people. And it's really shifted now where I have a client who has an extensive folk art collection, and they bought a home in Tsuki. So we are there's a remodel going on in that project, but it's more traditional materials, great color palette, great iron work. You know, we're able to use all of our local resources, which there are so many here in New Mexico. I have another client who's completely the opposite end of that spectrum that's an addition.
Mm-hmm.
And they have an extensive contemporary art collection, so we're choosing finishes that not only complement the existing house, that can move them through to the addition. And so, you know, just a lot of swinging, but a lot of contemporary and traditional, not a lot of things, again, as I said earlier, in the middle. So it's been really fun to incorporate the technology, but also the old school artisans that we have here in Santa Fe.
Sure. And you hit on a word there. I'm seeing that there is a greater volume of contemporary home building in Santa Fe in the last few years, I mean, as opposed to decades where it was that very traditional, the three different types of architecture available. And is that because of the influx of people from out of town, or what do you see that as?
You know, I know that trend's happening as well. I still believe that people, even if it is contemporary architecture, I do believe people want a sense of place, and they want to know that they are in Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a great trend that's happening. It's you know, I'm not sure if its appeal is quite as broad, but it's nice to see new things happening in New Mexico. I think we can still put our stamp on the contemporary design here so that it is Santa Fe. It has that stamp on it, so it's not anywhere.
Uh-huh.
I think that's very important to people that are moving into Santa Fe.
Uh-huh. And, Miles, you were talking before about some of the different finishes that are now available, the brush finishes that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, over the course of the last couple of years, what trend changes have you seen dramatically in the natural stone product area?
Oh, I see them using it in a wider area, and then where they used to possibly would use carpeting, they now will put stone and possibly a throw rug on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it has to do with the versatility. You can get stone that'll make, as Annie was talking about with paints, you can have neutral colors and have the throw rugs and the furniture really stand out on that, but it's versatile that you can change that.
Mm-hmm.
And so larger formatting, I see with the contemporary trend that a cleaner, bigger pieces of tile, if you will,
mm-hmm.
inside, and also, as Andy mentioned, inside and outside,
mm-hmm.
Same material.
Mm-hmm. We have about 1 minute left, so I'm going to give both of you equal time, 30 seconds to summarize for the listeners. Andy, from an interior design standpoint, what do you want to leave as far as a message for people today?
I think the message I want to leave is that in 2010 to have fun with color, textiles, things that make you smile in your house, that bring a personal aspect to it, and really to just go out and see what's out there. There's just a lot of new technology, interesting lighting options, interesting plumbing options, appliances. There's a lot going on. If you pick just one room, a kitchen, let's say, you know, explore all the options of the dish drawers and all kinds of great technology to incorporate into your home.
Mm-hmm. 15 seconds, Miles. You have to talk about natural stone. Go.
Well, natural stone is a low maintenance, a very beautiful product that just enlivens your home and works extremely well. Available in a lot of different colors.
And you talked a lot about the options today. Listen, I want to thank both of you guys, Annie O'Carroll and Miles Chaffee, for bringing some valuable information to the show today. Please go to our website, www.santafe-realtypartners.com, and then go to the radio show page if you want to follow up with Annie or Miles. Thank you, Gino Thompson, my producer, and Kate, Jane, and Peggy back at Santa Fe Realty Partners for producing a terrific show today. And thank you for tuning in today. And if you have questions about your own real estate situation, please call me at 989-8900. So until next Sunday at noon right here on 1260 KTRC, I send you good luck and fortune in all things real estate.